Now, this week, the government announced that the controversial gay conversion therapies are to be banned. It's a result of a recent national survey of 108,000 members of the LGBT community. The survey revealed that 2% have undergone the practice, with another 5% having been offered it. Now, the report didn't offer a definition of conversion therapy or so-called conversion therapy, but it said that it can range from pseudo-psychological treatments to, in extreme cases, surgical intervention and even something that is called corrective rape. I want to know what you think about this. Is it time that we ban gay conversion therapy? You can get in touch with the programme if you have a view. It's 08081 00880. That's 08081 00880. You can text 81333. Start your message with 3CR. To help me discuss this, I have Dr. Mike Davison, who is the CEO of Core Issues Trust, which offers support to those seeking to change behaviour and feelings about their sexuality, and also Peter Tatchell, a human rights activist. Thank you both for joining me this evening. Good evening to you.
Hello.
Dr. Mike Davison, if I could come to you first, because I understand that you went through, and I'm using the phrase in inverted commas, conversion therapy yourself. What was the process of yours? How did it work?
Well, it was talking therapy, basically over a 2.5 year period with two psychotherapists and a psychiatrist. And really, they took me seriously in terms of what my goals were. They certainly challenged me, but over a period of time, I was able to deal with behaviours. And as I did that, I found that the feelings began to dissipate. And I'm concerned that that should be something that should be available as an option to others.
So we talk a lot on this program about mental health issues, and we will often find ourselves talking about therapy, and we know that therapy can help it, and talking therapies can certainly help in all kinds of situations. But there would be many people saying, hang on, you said the word behaviours, what kind of thing do you mean? So we're not talking here about you had a smoking habit that you wanted to stop, or you had a OCD of some kind that you wanted help with. What behaviours are you talking about?
Well, I think they may range from acting out in one-off encounters, anonymous encounters, that for some people become really difficult for them. It's inconsistent with their values.
Right.
It might lead to an addiction. It might be addiction to certain kinds of pornography or any pornography. I think it's also likely to do with self-esteem, with depression, body image. There are all sorts of things that I think correctly can receive help from a therapist.
So, and I do appreciate you talking about this. I know this is your personal experience, but when you talk about, again, just so I understand it, those behaviours, you're making, or you were making the link that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that something like a one-night stand could become addictive behaviour, and you wouldn't personally be happy with that.
Definitely, and I think that was an issue for me, because I did act out, and I found myself being drawn not to one kind of set of circumstances, but to several. So that was clearly something that really was in the way of other values that I held. And
can I ask you, didn't that feel, and we'll bring in Peter in a moment on this, but didn't that feel that you were denying who you were?
Well, exactly the point, no, because what I felt was that this was something on top of who I was or who I wanted to be. I think it's just too simplistic to say that a person who wants to go in a different direction is somehow not being authentic. It props up this born gay theory that seems to be the bottom line for all of this current initiative.
Peter Tatchell.
Well, first of all, I find it quite offensive that in talking about unwanted same-sex attraction, Mike is referencing pornography, addiction, and one-night stands. Of course, those are not wholesome forms of relationship for most people, whether they're gay or straight. Now, the fact is, the vast majority of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people live happy, comfortable, responsible, respectable lives. They love their partners. They are dutiful towards them. So to have this kind of equation thrown into the ring in this discussion, I think it's deeply offensive and it's factually wrong. Now, in terms of the substance of this argument, the reason why I think it's wrong for these therapies to be allowed is because they do not work. They don't work, and they cause great mental and physical harm to the vast majority of people who undertake them. And this is not me speaking. This is the view of the world's leading psychiatric, medical, psychological, and counseling agencies. They all warn against these gay conversion therapies because they say they offer a false promise. They do not work. They promise to convert people or to help people become converted from gay to straight, but in the overwhelming majority of cases, that doesn't happen. And I can speak from a personal association with a friend of mine when I was 20 years old. He was pressured by his family and church to undergo these therapies. It didn't cure him, but it made him impotent, and it made him unable to form any kind of close emotional attachment with anyone, man or woman. So I know from that first-hand experience and many other cases cited in literature that these therapies are really, really damaging.
So you're clearly against it. I'll let Mike come back on that. Mike Davison.
Well, I think there's been a de facto ban for a long time now, because if you hold a different view to the accepted orthodoxy that homosexuality is completely normal, you will not be allowed to receive training or any professional assistance or any collegiality within any of the professional mental health bodies. So for a long time now, in fact, since 1973, when homosexuality was removed from the DSM, it has been the case that a different point of view may not be considered. You cannot get research money. You cannot do anything unless you subscribe to one ideological point of view. Where is the peer-reviewed scientific research that shows, on average, these interventions are harmful? It doesn't exist. We've asked the British Psychological Association, the UKCP, the Royal College of Psychiatrists, and they do not come up with it. So there's a problem here. We need to have different points of view brought to the table so that we can strip it all of my ideology and the ideology on the other side of the fence and look at the hard science, which is missing.
Can I ask you, and this is me, I'm no therapist, I'm no ologist of any kind, but just hearing you talk about your experience, would it not have been preferable for you, Mike, to get help that helped you accept who you were rather than change who you are?
That is an option, and people should have options. But the point is, there's only one choice that is being valued here. People who choose not to identify as gay, unfortunately, are being told that they are inauthentic or they're plain hypocrites and liars, all because we have to protect a minority who says they were born gay. I have no problem with how people want to identify and live, but my concern is for the minority rights of a group who are being discriminated against by the UK government, which has forgotten that in the London bus case between Core Issues Trust and Transport for London, the then Minister of Women and Equalities, Maria Miller, used her lawyers, and they successfully argued that ex-gay is a protected characteristic and it's illegal to discriminate against them under the Equality Act of 2010.
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to go back to Peter. Peter, I can hear you strongly disagree with it, but it comes down to an individual's choice, doesn't it, of how they want to be perceived, and in order to behave and live in a certain way, access to whatever treatment, however controversial, is a choice.
Well, the fact is that the world's leading medical, scientific, psychological and counseling organizations say that they do not promote false quack therapies. And in their view, gay conversion therapy is a false quack therapy.
But if you've got someone as we have here saying, but look, it's worked, it's a choice that Mike made, and it's a choice that I hope, Mike, after what you're saying, that it's worked for how you wanted it to work. Isn't it down to the individual, Peter?
Well, the National Health Service, under which these services used to be provided, took the view that it could not in conscience pursue and persuade people to undergo a therapy that does not work.
Nobody is persuading anyone, Peter.
Maybe there could be a case like Mike where it might work, but the cases are so rare that it's not worth putting all those other people through the trauma and pressure. And many of these people are going through these therapies as a result of pressure from their families and particularly their churches. There's real, real psychological pressure, verging, I suppose, on blackmail to undergo these therapies. That people are being told that they are going to be condemned to a life of sin and eternal damnation if they don't rid themselves of these homosexual demons, and the way to do it is to undergo gay conversion therapy. Now, I have an experience also with the Courage Trust, which is an organization set up by fairly fundamentalist Christians back in the 1980s with the project of supporting and fulfilling these gay conversion therapies. And they put hundreds of people through these therapies. But after about 20 years, they came to the conclusion, A, they don't work, and B, they were causing more harm than good.
So I wonder,
the Courage Trust,
They're not allowed to work, Peter.
The Courage Trust then, to their great moral credit, said, we're not going to do this anymore. We are going to instead counsel people to be able to come to terms with their homosexuality. And in the years they've been doing that, they're saying the results are much, much better and more effective in terms of those people's mental and physical health.
So, Mike, do you feel like you might be in the minority that it's worked for you? And do you, how long ago did you have the therapy, Mike?
A number of years ago, about 10 years ago. Look online today and look at Rod Liddell has written an article in the Sunday Times today and also in the Spectator. He will have interviewed one of our clients, not a Christian, not coming from a faith point of view, but clearly an intelligent man who went through the work and is in a better position in terms of where he is today and in terms of the relationships that he is in.
But Mike, you will know that there is a lot, on many people, there is a lot of cultural, religious,
yes,
family pressure,
yes,
to be something that they're not, to deny themselves.
So here's the thing. So what you do is regulate. You don't ban. You don't push it under so that it becomes something that is clandestine. You make sure that the people who are involved in it are properly qualified. You don't bar them, as they did with me, from getting professional help and the proper collegial interaction with people so that there are checks and balances and so that people are challenged in what they are doing. But this route, I'm afraid, is a disaster. It is going to enhance the problem, not end it.
Mike, thank you. Peter Tatchell, a final word from you on what Mike has just said there about don't send it underground, but regulate it.
Well, this has been very thoughtfully considered, and there's been very, very extensive deliberations about whether that would be the right way to go. But as I said, all the leading bodies, the professional experts in this field, say that just it isn't right to give any kind of credence to a therapy which simply will not work in 99.9% of cases and will instead cause the vast majority of people real psychological, mental, and even physical damage. So that's their view, and I tend to concur that they are taking the right, responsible, professional point of view.
Peter, thank you. Peter Tatchell there, human rights activist, and Dr. Mike Davidson, CEO of Core Issues Trust.